The first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped as Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, and because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 7 and 14 through 17. "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed him, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless is not a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are our one body, for we all partake of the one bread.
The book Love Wins starts with an important reminder that Jesus responds to almost every question he's asked, and he's asked a lot of questions in the Bible. He responds every time somebody asks him a question. How does he respond? With another question. He'll say, "What do you think?" or "How do you read it?" So this morning, after praying for several weeks with chapter 6 of this book, there are rocks everywhere. I want to know what you think. Are there rocks everywhere? Well, maybe this morning now there are, but usually are there rocks everywhere? You know, in the Old Testament, we told the very odd story of Moses and the Israelites leaving Egypt. And as I told the children, it's really not a good scene. They're traveling in the wilderness and they're thirsty. They can't find water and they're very angry at Moses for bringing them out of Egypt because they think now they're going to die. They demand to know why Moses would do such a thing. Moses cries out to God, "What do I do with these people?" God tells Moses to strike a rock with the staff. Moses does, and out of the rock comes the water. In the wilderness, afraid they will not survive, the Israelites have some pretty serious questions for Moses and for God. In the chaos wilderness of our own living, perhaps we, like the Israelites, have some pretty serious questions as well. Do you question God sometimes? Yeah, we have some pretty serious questions. I imagine some of them may sound like this. What kind of world are we living in? Is it safe or is it dangerous? Is there a force calling out to us in many languages using a variety of methods and events trying to get our attention? Or were we simply alone in this world? Should we dismiss God experiences that come out of nowhere with no explanation? Should we dismiss the love that creeps in with no explanation at the strangest times? And what does Jesus have to do with any of this, and with today's theme, and what do rocks have to do with any of it? For the past 2 weeks, I have a confession to make. I've been hunted by rocks. The voice of God has spoken to me through rocks, and through them, love has crept into my heart. Now, that's pretty bizarre, right? I've been hunted by rocks. But I have. I've been hunted by rocks. So I will share my odd little story with all of you. 2 weeks ago, while on vacation in San Francisco for our anniversary, I received the very sad news that one of my parishioners on the East Coast, a brilliant artist, had died. The news came from a mutual friend. Aunt sold some of Linda's artwork in her beautiful boutique. Aunt shared in telling me of Linda's death, when she received the phone call, her best friend told her that there was no living family left and there probably would be no memorial service to celebrate her life. Aunt and I could not accept not celebrating Linda's life. We had no idea. But then something came to us. And you guessed right, it included rocks. Linda's last art project was painting rocks she had collected at the local beach. Anne's boutique had a table of Linda's creations. Her beautifully painted rocks, she told me in our last conversation, were to be reminders to anybody who bought them or she gifted them to. They were to be reminded in a belief she held very dear in her heart that no matter what happens in life, love always wins. So Anne sent me a picture of this table of love rocks, and I included pictures of two rocks that Linda personally gifted me with. In celebration of Linda's life, we posted her love rocks on Facebook and words of remembrance about her life. And today, Linda is here with us, and I share her love with all of you. In the Bible, after the odd story about water coming out of a rock, we don't hear any more about rocks until more than 1,000 years later. Paul in Corinthians refers to the story about the rock in Exodus, saying, "Those who traveled out of Egypt drank from a spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was whom? The rock was Christ." I wonder, how is it that Moses in the Exodus story mentioned nowhere that the rock, which he got the water out of when he struck the staff on it, was Jesus or Christ? Paul insists that Christ was present in that moment, providing what the people needed in order to survive. According to Paul, Jesus was there without anybody using his name. For the first century Christians, Jesus was the ultimate exposing of what God has been up to and what God is still up to for us today. Paul writes again, "It's a mystery that God has made known to us according to God's good pleasure." And that good pleasure of God through Christ is to bring unity to all people, and all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Last Sunday, one of my twin 4-year-old grandsons, returning from the beach, had a purpose and an intent. He needed Grandma, that's me, to see his raw rock that he had found at the beach. And as you could see on one side, I showed the children, it was decorated beautifully. And on the other side, it had the raw rock, and it said to please post it on Facebook. This movement is shared to bring love and kindness to all of God's people, and it's to be left at beaches, and the kids have treasure hunts with it. A story is told about a bishop who believes he needs to spread Christian orthodoxy to nearby hermits, Upon arriving on their island, he asked them, "Are you Christian?" And they say, "Yes." So then he proceeds to ask them, "So if you're a Christian, how do you pray?" They respond simply, "This is how we pray," they told the bishop. "We are three, you are three, have mercy on us." He instructs them in the Lord's Prayer, believing that's the only way a correct Christian can pray. They do their best, and feeling he has done his job, he returns home by ship. On another trip, sailing past the island, the bishop is reminded of teaching these hermits the Lord's Prayer. During the night, while strolling on the deck, he sees a ball of light coming out of the island, and it's moving towards the ship. As the ball of light comes closer, he sees the three hermits in the ball of light. Speaking from the sphere of light, they come to confess to the bishop that they've forgotten the Lord's Prayer. The bishop is jolted to a new level of consciousness, awakened by the holiness of these hermits who are glowing in a sphere. Humbly, he tells them to go home, and he says to them, "And when you pray, you need to say, 'We are three, you are three, have mercy on us.'" The author in There Are Rocks Everywhere reminds us that the God to whom we pray is the working force putting our world, all of the world, back together again. God is doing this through Christ, who is for everybody, every nation, every tribe, and every religious and ethnic group. That's right, God is for all people, all people. So what does that mean for us today on this fifth Sunday of Lent? I believe we're invited to experience Jesus, who comes to all people in all sorts of different ways, through rocks, through other people, through visions, in their heart. We need to honor this, and we need to be extremely careful as people about making negative, decisive, lasting judgments about people's eternal destinies. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the question, a mystery birthing a new creation in the midst of all our worldly chaos. We are three, you are three. Have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Amen.